The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, threw the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Laura Hobbs.
And we're here with Jefferson State of Mind. M-I-N-E.
The best state in which to be.
Yes, ma'am. We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. And 1460 AM, we are your talk radio. We are also are streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and it is worldwide that we stream, so everyone can hear it if you go to that particular site. And we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
So even people in Bernie can get this show.
We have special people in Bernie.
Yes.
I think we have one special that's sitting here.
Yes, but we also have Andrew in yes. Bernie.
We have Andrew.
Sometimes in Bernie.
Sometimes. The traveling Andrew, yes. So anyway, we are going to get into a lively discussion here in a continuing soiree. And I love to say that. I know soirees are only at night, but if they continue, they would be past the night.
Into the morning.
And then it becomes a fête de matin.
Oh, he can't say. That's too big a word.
That's too big a word.
That's out of his vocabulary.
I like soiree better. It sounds good. Think about it. Soiree. Doesn't sound like ointment. I mean, what a horrible word. Or Monday. Sunday.
Monday is mundane. That's why Monday is the Monday.
When you're retired, they all run together.
I
had to actually look at my phone the other day to see what day it was. I put out the trash a day early.
Oh, at least you run a day late.
Yeah.
Was there somebody in your cam?
She'll never tell.
You never know with who's
what
going
happens
through your
in Bernie stays in Bernie.
Okay. Anyway, we'd like to thank Patrick Jones and Marshall and, of course, Jackie over at Jones Fort. They are our sponsors. Jones Fort's located at 1600 East Cypress Avenue, Suite 2. The phone number there is 530-222-3223. They do everything from fire safety classes, CCW classes. They can help you with the California regulations. Lord only knows there's plenty of those. And they also make gun transfers easy. They're great people, and I recommend them highly. I don't do anything with firearms other than there. That's it.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Is there any place else?
There isn't any place else. Jones Fort, 1600 East Cypress Avenue, 222-3223, 530-222-3223. We're here this morning with Laura Hobbs. We're going to talk about her initiative. We have an initiative that we're putting forward, actually with a statement of purpose on the website is?
CaliforniaStateSplit.com.
Very simple.
Guess what? You only get to vote once.
And people have found that out.
Yeah, getting a lot of emails to that effect. Yeah, they're all saying, hey, you can only vote once. There's no double voting or anything.
Yep.
Unlike the state of California.
That's right. Or Shasta County.
Yep. Well, Shasta County, but, you know, Laura's got an idea on how we could fix that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to, we're excited about this initiative. And again, folks, when you go on the website, CaliforniaStateSplit.com, we'd like you to vote whether you want to do this or not.
This let us know yes or no.
Yeah. And, you know, this isn't up to four or five people. I had a good call from actually Summer Boger in Southern California, who used to be the president of Eagle Forum.
Okay.
And then she retired from that after she took over for Orlean Curley. She retired from that, and then she went to the Assembly to try to run for the Assembly. And, of course, we'll talk about those regular elections, won't we, Laura? And so, anyway, she's like the idea of this. There's a lot of people who are getting behind this, and I think it's kind of a It's really something, but it's going to take all of us. So that's the.
Yep.
Well, unlike previous initiatives and ballot measures that have been put forth to split the state, the beauty of this one is that it is an opportunity for you to create a state, a new state, not a mandate.
It's not a secession.
Well,
oh
it's not a secession, but it's also not a mandate. If you want to stay California, you have the ability to stay California. If you want to split, to separate, to form a new state, you can also do that. So it's an opportunity to make a change. It's not mandated. You're not being forced into it like other initiatives.
And the reason I stress secession is I've gotten many, many texts back saying, This is, you know, we don't do secession. Well, it has nothing to do with secession, and I don't want to get into that long diatribe on why it doesn't just use your head. But
well, it's just limited knowledge and understanding.
It really
they
is.
Need to remove their ignorance by understanding what secession
How about
is.
Reading what's written there?
Read what's written, exactly.
So I got to take 5 minutes and read the damn thing.
That's right.
Anyway, Laura, you have a great initiative going here. I believe you just got an endorsement from someone. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. The Shasta County Republican Assembly endorsed our initiative. It's a charter amendment. It's to reform our local elections here within Shasta County. We want to have same-day elections, one-day results, so you know the night of the election, who won and who lost.
Amen.
instead of having to wait 30 days, which we do now, we want to have a voter ID. We want to have in-person voting, clean voter rolls that are locally maintained using paper poll books, which is when you go to sign in, they have you sign in a paper document instead of what we're using now, which is the electronic no-ink software, which is connected to the Internet. And
that doesn't work.
Well, sometimes it doesn't work, but also it's third parties can access that data and know in near real time.
Yep.
Who's checked in and who is not, and how many votes they need to sway the election.
And the only reason I say they don't always work is because when my wife, daughter, and I went to vote, they weren't working. None of the pads that they had were working when we went to sign in.
Wow. Yeah.
Not one of them.
That has happened, I think, in a couple of elections
now.
So we want to go back basically to how elections were ran prior to COVID. So if you want an absentee ballot, you can request one. However, everyone else will be voting in person. We won't do the mass mailing of ballots. It's like mailing out blank checks in the mail.
Right.
There's too many opportunities for bad actors to get a hold of those and to cheat. So those are the main components of our charter amendment.
Did you didn't you also get the endorsement of the Republican Central Committee?
Yes, they they didn't actually technically give us an endorsement, but we got a majority of the votes. We didn't get three-fourths of the votes. So
do you remember what the ratio was?
I believe it was 10 in favor and 7 opposed.
Oh, okay.
And that's amazing because most of those people are put on that committee via election.
Yeah.
You would think that they would want to make sure that the elections are good and clean.
What was the vote in the Shasta County Republican Assembly?
It was unanimous. All 28 members who voted that evening voted in favor of it.
Wonderful.
Wow.
So.
Now, the other thing I want to bring up, folks, is you can ask Laura a question if you have a question or a comment. It's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Where does our Registrar of Voters, Clinton Curtis, sit on this?
I believe that he is in favor. He can't officially endorse us. However, these are a lot of things that he's been asking for over 20 years. He wants fair and transparent elections, and basically every component of this measure gives us that. It gives us transparent elections. It gives us accuracy. We know that the person who's voting is who they say they are, and that they are a U.S. citizen. So I think that he believes in all these same tenets, and right now he has to follow California state election law, as it's written currently. What this would do is, as a charter amendment, if we get enough signatures, it'll go on the ballot. The citizens can vote on it, whether or not they want it, and then it becomes law. It becomes local law. So at that point, Clint Curtis would have to follow this when he's conducting elections.
So what happens if the legislature, between now and the vote time, puts something out there that mandates that you can, as law, that he cannot get around. Will that occur, or since you've already started, does that, is there a timing issue there?
Well, the state of California is not going to stop making tyrannical laws.
Exactly. That's why I'm asking. Yeah.
And so, but the thing about this, which is different, is that we're a charter county now.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have the ability as a charter county to, create laws that are different than the state laws and only in regards to municipal affairs. And elections are defined in California Constitution Article 11 as a municipal affair.
Gotcha. Okay. There you go.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
First being, there's a lot of people that are saying this is illegal, it's against the law. I'm trying to figure out, and I'm going to put this in perspective so I understand and then you can explain. How can something be against the law if it's not even completed yet? It basically, you're in the process of moving this forward. The people have the right to redress grievances. I don't see, you know, I mean, I see a bill out there of that the Secretary of State signed off on and the Attorney General with a title and summary to leave California and create your own country. I mean, isn't that a little bit illegal? But I mean, you have the right to put
that
anything
on. That is secession.
That is secession.
That is secession, well, by definition.
Yeah, totally. And so the craziness of all this. So first of all, I'm trying to figure out how these people can still say, oh, what they're doing right now is illegal. What you're doing right now, how can that be illegal? Because that's the first thing I'd like you to explain. The second thing I want to do is to have you go through both the court cases that are out now and just give us a quick synopsis on what the difference is, because there is a difference. Go ahead.
Right. So basically, it's not illegal. Right now, the California government code enables us to circulate a petition that would allow us to add amendment to our charter county. So that's the law that supports what we are doing now. And then the other part of your question was about the lawsuit, or?
Yeah, there's two lawsuits right now. Okay. And people are kind of running those together.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, are you involved in both lawsuits? Are you named in both lawsuits or just one?
Okay. So are you talking about Ladd versus Taller?
There's that one. And go ahead.
That's the one I'm involved
You're
in.
Involved
I'm a co-plaintiff in that.
Go ahead.
And, on the 27th of May, we had a hearing for, to dismiss the case. So the county paid, Best and Krieger to defend Thomas Taller and to defend the county. And, BB&K, as they're called, they wrote a demur to try to get the case dismissed. Basically to have it dismissed so we wouldn't be able to hear it based on its merits. We actually put forth a good argument against dismissing the case. However, the judge actually ruled with the county, and the county paid, I'm assuming, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this dismissed.
And who was the judge?
And the judge was Judge Hannah.
Surprise! Why does that judge name always pop up in every case that we ever discuss in the
Can
county?
You say Brady violations?
Multiples.
Cue the laugh track.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So basically in this demur, they call it a demur, the county was trying to say there were no municipal duties that the ROV violated, the Register of Voters, Thomas Taller. That is blatantly false. We listed at least half a dozen, more like in the range of a dozen different violations of direct California election law during the November 2024 election, which, as your listeners will recall, was a dumpster fire.
Right.
There was the ink overspray issues. Over half the ballots had to be duplicated.
That's why they had exactly. They had multiple new ballots and we never got to see what happened with the old ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're copying and scanning sprayed ones. I mean, it's a hot flipping mess.
Yeah, it was a big hot mess, and they didn't allow observers in to see the duplication, which caused a lot of people to doubt the results. They didn't do mandated voter maintenance, which is a ministerial duty. They didn't perform ballot security. They left ballots unattended, no chain of custody. That's another ministerial duty of the ROV. They had ballot rejection rate of 46% due to improper printing, like we just mentioned. That's a violation of federal law and also local law. We had audit logs that were corrupted. There's a California law, 17603B2, which says the ROV should perform his ministerial duty, which is to remove compromised equipment that may have been breached by bad actors. They didn't do that. They also, there was numerical discrepancies. A lot of people know now that there was 2,783 more ballots counted than there were people who voted on the roster.
No, not in Shasta County.
Yes. And,
oh my gosh. I wonder how Joanna is going to dance around that one. Well, she did try to dance around it yesterday.
Well, she did yesterday, and yes, I can address that if you wouldn't mind.
I would love it.
Okay. So there were more ballots cast than voters who voted, and this is based on a roster of voters who that was provided to us after the election was certified. This is important. Because it was based on the official canvas. Joanna is attempting to confuse the public by saying that these 2,783 ballots were from provisional voters, because provisional ballots are not part of the official canvas. They're only, because they are not part of the semi-official canvas. This is the way she's spinning it. She's misleading people. The figures actually were given to us from the official canvas, not the semi-official canvas. They were provided after certification. So the only people who should be absent from the roster at this point are people who are have a protected voter status. And there are very few people with that. We're talking like some celebrities, some, you know, people high up on the political echelon.
So that we have voter protection status?
Yes, it's used in very limited cases. I would guess there's less than 20 people on the voter roll that are protected status.
In the whole county?
Yeah, yeah, that would be my guess.
Okay. Interesting.
Of course, I don't have any information because they won't share information on that. But Joanna, instead of being honest and truthful and saying there was a problem with our reconciliation and with the machine being able to count accurately, she's instead trying to say, oh, well, these are provisional ballots, and we don't have to give you the names for those. But that's not true, because when the election is certified, all of those names have to be maintained on a roster for 12 years of every person who voted, unless they're a protected voter status.
For 12 years?
Yes.
So they can't burn them in 22 months?
Yes.
They can't get rid of them, shred them, whatever?
Nope.
And is that kept on in a data bank, or is that kept on print, paper trail? What is it?
I believe it's on a database.
Oh, so can it be manipulated?
Possibly. And, you know, there are people who look into this aspect, and they call it vote churning, where they see the names and the numbers of voters changing all
right,
the time.
Right,
right.
Because some people will vote for one election, and then their name is removed or whatever, and then they come back in, and they're removed.
Yes.
And how many names do we have that are like that we're, you know, finding?
Well, I don't have data on that specifically, but there are people who want to look into that. Dr. Frank is one of those, so he'll be doing more of an investigation on that.
No, we have, what, 115,000 voters in the county?
Yes.
And she was saying that we had a 90,000 turnout. That's wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wasn't that some kind of record?
I believe so, yeah.
That's going to be a record, huh?
I think what we'll see with Clint Curtis in office is those numbers are going to come way down.
You think?
Because he's actually interested in cleaning the voter rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why would anyone want to do that?
Do you have more there?
There's one more I wanted to talk about, which is really important. They violated California State Code 15360E, which is a failure to release data in a utilizable format. And they violated 15372B, which is, there's certain laws about the 1% tally, because they do a 1% tally to see if the hand count matches the machine count.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote up this report to the Secretary of State that said there were only 10 errors, 10 discrepancies between the manual tally or the hand count and the machine count. And in fact, when you actually got a hold of that data, because she tried to hide it by not disclosing it, we had a person who individually replicated these PDF files into Excel files. It took hundreds of hours to do this. And what we discovered was that there were 511 errors, which is 50 times more than what she reported. And these errors, if you look at it, because they only counted about 10,000 ballots, that's approximately 4.7% error rate. In most elections, there were, I think, 18 races that were decided by less than 5%. Difference between the two candidates. So many people lost their races based on a 1% margin. So if you have an error rate that high between the hand count, which is the gold standard, mm-hmm. and the machine count, that tells you there's something wrong with that machine. So instead of the judge taking these violations of California election code seriously, he actually threw his hands in the air and said, I'm not able to control what some other department of government and how they conduct their business. He said he'd had no authority over the ROV's office, and he couldn't compel them to follow the California state law, It's a huge miscarriage of justice, and it puts us in a position of where do we go? You know, we have these laws. The legislature wrote these laws for a reason.
Mm-hmm. So they're not even following their own laws.
Yeah, they're not even following their own rules. Yep. These are good laws that should be followed.
Right.
But yet they continue to write new laws that are counterproductive, that aren't good laws, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like, where do we go? Do we go to the DA? The DA is not going to prosecute. It's really a tough situation. I think this might be, you know, one of our last recourses here to achieve justice, and it's being taken from us.
Can you appeal the case?
It's very hard to appeal as a pro se litigant because we didn't have a lawyer. There's no funding behind this case. However, we could appeal if we were to hire a lawyer, because that would involve, you know, going a little more tricky as far as timing and filing and all that stuff.
So again, for the citizens of Shasta County, justice delayed, justice denied.
Yes.
And this isn't even justice delayed. This is just justice denied.
That's true. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Wow. So that's where it stands.
Well, I think that we're going to go off for our break a little bit early, but before we do, I just want to mention the phone number one more time if you have any questions out there for Laura. 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
My ocean delay,
So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Don't fall for anything.
Don't fall.
Stand for something. Talking about somebody who stands for something, I think we have Mark Baird on the line.
Good morning, Mark.
Are you there, buddy?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought you were still on break.
Nope.
No.
No, we take our short breaks. We're not union here. We
don't. What you got, buddy? We've got Laura Hobbs here. I don't know. Have you been listening in?
Yeah, I've been listening.
Great. Okay, anyway, what you got, buddy?
Well, there are a couple of things, really. First of all, the lawlessness in Los Angeles and the Democratic Party backing of that. And number two, the governor is threatening to withhold California monies to the federal government. That's called a nullification doctrine, and that is initially how the United States Civil War started. So if the governor declares that California will not supply money due to the federal government from California tax receipts, then the California government is actively in sedition, and that would cast dubious aspersions on whether counties, which according to the California government in Reynolds versus Sims, are simply political arms of the state, to be nullified as well, and we would in fact be within our rights to take our own state, form our own governments, and thumb our nose at California from now on. Once they declare nullification to the federal government with regard to revenue, then we're free to seek self-help.
That's amazing.
So do we just sit back and eat our popcorn and watch the show and see what happens while we're forming a plan?
I believe it was Napoleon that said, never interrupt your enemy when he's in the middle of a big mistake.
That's right.
And the lawlessness exhibited by the California legislature, also there was I think it was SB2, I forget the name of it now, but it was the bill that would have prevented an additional approximately a dollar a gallon in gasoline expenses, was voted down by the Democrats. So on July 1st, price of gas is going to go up between 80 and a dollar a gallon in one fell swoop.
I heard 61 cents.
What a stupid thing to do with an election several months away.
What a stupid thing to do is, Janet, that's the understatement of the century. But in this state, stupid things are the norm. I can't get over the fact that, you know, these ICE detentions have been going on since ICE was formed. Obama deported a million people. These guys, they're seeking out their first targets are criminal aliens, guys, robbers, sex offenders, child rapists, adult rapists, burglars, murderers, you know, people who assault and beat the heck out of their families and child cruelty. And yet the governor of the state of California and his minions in the legislature or the minions of the Service Employees International Union and CalPERS and CalSTRS anyway, they don't really represent you, and it doesn't matter how you vote. They don't represent you anyway. They wait for union approval before they pass a bill anyway. But that these things are so stupid. You know, look, millions of people are voting with their feet.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaving California. Businesses are leaving California. Blue Diamond Almond just shut down its main plant in Sacramento because it's too hard to do business there and too expensive. And you know what the mayor said? The mayor of Sacramento said when they announced they were closing and costing 600 people their jobs, well, you know what? Thank you for 150 years of patronage of Sacramento. We wish you well. Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
Wow. Yeah, that's all he said. And then he said, you know, within the next 5 or 10 years, that site will become even more valuable. We could build low-income housing there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, you look at Karen Bass. She the mayor of Los Angeles, she initially was a member of some NGO, visited Cuba twice a year. She's a Castro-carrying Marxist-Leninist, card-carrying Marxist-Leninist, been to Africa 30 times to try to influence African nations into communism and socialism, and she's in charge in L.A., and regular people, you know, they just had a news thing this morning where they're asking regular people, how's it going to be at $6 a gallon for you? And every single one of them said, well, you know, this one black lady, she said it best. She said, you know, if the wheels of this car don't move, I don't get a paycheck and my family starves. I have to have the gasoline. Because you charge me twice as much as it's worth and twice as much as you pay in every other state, there, you know, I can't stop using it because my family will starve if I do. So what they've done is they've decided to point a shotgun at the heads of every Californian. They've threatened the federal government. The California government is behind that. And I think a free and fair election, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that ain't going to happen here unless people do something about it.
What about, you're talking about fuel. So what about the airlines and the fuel that they consume, you well know, it's going to be cost prohibitive. They're going to end up losing routes that they're going to be flying. Companies are going to quit flying in California.
They just bump the price of the ticket up. They don't care. I mean, really, quite frankly.
People are going to get to a point where they can't afford it.
A lot of people already are there.
So a lot of people are already there.
More so, I guess.
Mark, the beauty of our charter amendment is that it's actually starting at the local level, and I think that's going to be what we need going forward is we have to go back to we the people. This is something that we can do at the county level, despite whatever's going on at the state.
You know, one other thing, too, I was someone from another county had told me, whose husband's an attorney, constitutional attorney who deals in maritime law, told me that basically what we need to do is enough of this silliness. We need to go after the mayors. Is there something I'm really missing something here? Maybe one of the four of you can explain that to me, how that would be anything and how they'd even have to listen to the people.
Well, they don't have to listen to anybody,
right.
And that's the point. I mean, once they get those jobs, you can't get rid of them. 97% of the time, you can't get rid of an incumbent in California anyway, at least at the state level.
That's right.
Because it costs too much money, and we've been through all this. We need our own state. We need to remake this state. Nothing less will do. I think it's great. The initiative is great that Laura has. I hope it prevails. It's a ray of sunshine and a sea of darkness, but we have fish that are so big, we had better get to frying them, because otherwise, you know, sticking your finger in a hole in the Titanic is not going to keep a ship afloat.
That's right.
You know, I
agree. I think there was a time when we could take our counties back one at a time and we start with the election integrity. I still think that's a good idea. Don't get me wrong. I love the idea. I want to see it because I want to try to replicate it in Siskiyou County, but
are you a charter county in Siskiyou?
Yes, we are.
Oh, right. Yeah. Give me a call. I can help you out with that because I think this is something that can be replicated.
I think we're on the ballot. I think it's actually on the ballot next time. As usual, the politicians didn't listen to the advice that they were given, the good advice, and copy what Shasta County did. They made it into more. It may pass. It may not pass. I don't know. But the point is, this debt ship is sinking faster than the election cycle can save it.
Yeah. And the last statistics I saw, 34% of California's budget is money from the federal government. If Trump gets nasty about it.
All they have to do is raise their taxes. If they raise a gas tax, they've got, what, 50 million cars that gas up a day in California, plus airplanes, plus everything. They just raise your taxes. Mark just gave us the information. On the last show that was on prior to us, their information was 61 cents a gallon. Mark said $1 a gallon, but heck, it could be 20 cents a gallon. We know the minimum is probably 61 cents a gallon. They just do whatever they want to do.
This bill in the California Senate was meant to cap the price of fuel at $3 a gallon, and not one single Democrat voted for it.
Yeah, I believe
not
that.
Not one.
Well, then that
and here's how it went. It was like 14 to 20. They weren't even all there. All of the Republicans weren't even there. I mean, weren't even all there. That's how much they care about what happens to you. Our own people don't even show up to vote on these things.
Well, I think with all of them, they're not all there.
Yeah.
I mean,
even when they are there.
When you start looking at what's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, it looks like.
Yep. Oh. Okay. Anyway, that was my 2 cents, and I'll give you your show back.
Thanks, Mark.
Anyway, Mark, thank you so much, and thanks for everything you do, brother.
By the way, yes. court case June 24th in Seattle, of course. So please, Lynn, maybe you can give the address again, or to keithandbear.com. Please help us out. We're getting to the expensive part of this. If the court makes us show up in Seattle for a one-day thing, it's going to be $30,000. I'm hoping for a summary judgment. That's still possible, but they don't announce those things until a week before the court date. So we don't know anything yet, but please help if you can. Let's start to restore liberty in spite of the people who occupy the chairs in Sacramento and these counties. Because believe me, county governments don't want you to have a Second Amendment either. It's too much trouble for them.
Okay,
They don't want to have to think about it.
Okay, Mark, the address for the mailing of monies, check, cash, whatever you want to do, mail it to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, and the address is 1304 East Street, Suite 110, Redding, California, 96001. I'll give that again. It's 1304 East Street, Suite 110, Redding, California, 96001. And when you write the check, make it out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And then in the memo on the bottom left of your check, just put 2A. And then those monies will go to that account. And the folks that track the money will do that and make sure it gets done on behalf of all of us for what we're going through with this case.
And what was the suite number?
One final question. Are we ahead in the vote for state split? I don't care about the numbers, but are we ahead so far, or are people against it?
More yeses than noes?
No, I'm not sure yet. We're waiting for that information to come through.
Cool. Okay. All right. Well, thanks. I'll listen to the rest of the show, and thank you very much. Sorry for the interruption.
No problem.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
So one thing I wanted to mention is that in order to take our county back through this charter amendment and to have fair, honest, transparent elections, we're doing this petition drive, and we're getting a really good response. However, we do need more volunteers to help us fill the slots. And we have we'll have a booth at the fair coming up, starting, I believe, June 19th, 18th, something like that. And it goes for 5 days now, so it's going to go on through Sunday, and folks can come down, sign the petition there. But more importantly, we need volunteers to staff these locations. We're also collecting signatures in front of Walmart, in front of Raley's, various locations. You can find those on our website. We update it daily, and that's SaveShastaElections.org. Go on there, click sign the petition. You can't sign it online, but you can find the signing locations and see where we're going to be that day if you want to go out and sign there. And you can also click volunteer and fill out our little short questionnaire. It takes no more than 10 seconds and you're done. And you can get put on our list to be actually one of the folks collecting signatures. It's not hard to do, and we can train you for that.
Let me ask you this about the fair. I know that we tried to do stuff at the fair, and they've told us we're political. We can't do it. How did you get around that?
No, that was the Intermountain Fair.
Oh, that wasn't the Reading one.
No, no.
Shasta, well, this is a nonpartisan issue. So
awesome. That's great.
Both Democrats and Republicans should want fair, open, and transparent elections.
This is great.
Yeah, Shasta District Fair has always been very good about
lenient.
The Intermountain Fair, they had different management, and they had a personal thing, so they changed their mind about, you know, different political groups going up there.
Oh.
Don't know why. They would not give me an answer when we pressed for it, because we used to be there.
Yep.
We used to do it for years.
You can still go. You can still have a booth, but you can't be inside the building. It would have to be a booth outside.
Yeah, and with all the printed material you have with the paper, the wind comes up at 12 o'clock noon daily there, and it'll blow for about 2 hours, maybe a little longer, and depends on the temperatures and stuff. It can get really brisk there, not brisk, but in cold, but I mean with a lot of wind coming through. So all of your printed material would be all over the fairground.
And you'd have to move a lot if you have to sit on the table all the time to keep the papers
down. Well, and at the end of every day, you'd have to pack everything up.
It's just one of those things that, you know, they're willing to let you be outside doing that. When it isn't really conducive to the booth, when we used to be inside and at the end of the night, they could just close it up and, like everybody else, everything's secure.
Is it cheaper outside?
Yeah,
it's cheaper outside.
And it wasn't about the money.
No.
And it wasn't for the group anyway, but it was, they did fill the void of having vacancies inside the building with, you know, wagon wheels and stuff like that, whereas they could have made some money off a booth.
Wouldn't that be a form of prejudice?
Don't know. They wouldn't answer.
It's called discrimination.
Yeah.
And that was under former management. So that was last year.
Ooh.
That's where.
Well, this year it's in September, correct?
It's always in Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Yep, every year.
Okay. DEI, but discrimination is egregious and idiocy.
Because that's a great fair.
Yeah, it is.
This
but
is fun
Shasta fair. District Fair coming up, like you said, on 18th through the 23rd. Yeah. First time it's been for 5 days.
Oh, that's yeah, that's going to be fantastic.
They've always had the last day of being Saturday in the past.
Right.
But now this time it's going to we have Sunday, so that'll be good.
Yeah, so and another air-conditioned location we'll be at is at the mall, probably on weekends and evenings. Okay. So there's a lot of places
you'll
you can
be inside
find.
The mall?
We'll be inside the mall.
Nice.
We'll have a table there. So look for the red tablecloths. Nice. Please get involved. If you've been kind of on the sidelines and seeing all of this happen and knowing that it wasn't right, the 2020 stolen election, and feeling like you need something, you want to be able to contribute, this is your opportunity. This is your chance to actually create change here locally. And we'd love to have you as part of the team.
You know, and it seems odd to me that we have any kind of resistance on any of this.
But they're out there.
Either side, especially our side. It just, it's amazing to, I just ain't got the words.
It's just so easy to support this and see
no
where
kidding.
It goes.
Yeah, duh.
So what's the downside?
What's the downside?
Right.
If enough people don't want it, they won't get these signatures on their petitions, and it won't happen. But if enough people do, then it's like a vote.
Yeah.
Signing the petition is like a vote.
Correct.
And isn't that the democracy that we're all supposed to want?
In this constitutional republic?
This is the basis of a democracy. Everybody gets a chance to vote. And this is it. You want a democracy? Here it is. This is the level at which it does happen.
There you go.
That's right.
Too good. Yeah, so I think that I was really glad that Mark called in, and I was glad that he showed his support on this. And I think that, again, with so much support on this initiative, you really got to scratch your head on what would be an argument against it. Looks like we have someone on the line here.
Richard.
It's Richard.
Good morning, Rich.
Richard.
Oh, hey there. Sorry.
Oh, it's that Richard. Okay, we have all kinds of Richards. But this is
Stones.
The Richard.
Stones, not to be confused with Pebbles. So we are having a little bit of pushback from some of the left parts locally, but I'm going to let you know, because they listen to these shows. Every time they're showing up and physically and verbally disrupting us and our peaceful assembly and our peaceful freedom of speech, I am filing police reports. I filed a citizen's arrest against the no-brain. Yeah, I know how to do a citizen's arrest, by the way. That's pending. Another gentleman is came up to us in two places, and I think he's I don't think he's playing with a full six pack, but nonetheless, he's still very aggressively creating disturbances, and they're trying to get us kicked out of the locations, right? It's the Saul Alinsky Cloward Piven strategy. So, but I want the leftists to know that we are coming after you with every legal recourse we can. We're not going to put up with it. If you have a problem with our petition, stand 15, 20 feet away, wait for the person that we are speaking to depart our table, and then you can approach them and give them your side of the story. That's the proper way to peacefully protest. Remember, they have a right to peacefully protest, but they do not have a right to interrupt our First Amendment rights. As soon as they interrupt our rights, their rights stop. It's not rocket science. But, yes, everybody, man, the support is overwhelming. It's beautiful. It's a very positive environment. I think we're going to make this happen. In fact, like Laura said, just a couple more volunteers would be great. But anyway, so I just wanted everybody to know we're tracking the disruptors. We're videotaping them. We're collecting the evidence. And we're not going to put up with it.
Certainly seems that we're getting a lot of people that are weighing in on this and weighing in on the side of, why not do this? I mean, you know, really, what choice do we have? I mean, right. What choice do we have without this initiative? What choice do we have without the four-state split initiative? I mean, we don't have these choices anymore. Mark put it succinctly in what's going on in California.
It's all because of the criminals we elect into these offices.
Or they got selected by the corrupt voting machines.
That's right.
You think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, you
know, for everybody. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I've run twice for County Office of Education. First time I lost by, I think, 3%. Second time I lost by 1.4%. So even with the skewed elections processes and tabulation, here comes Rich. I will get into office someday in some office locally. So here I come. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. Yeah. You know, I mean, for the life of me, I can't see at this point why any clear-thinking person would resist this at this point. I mean, or frankly, a clear-thinking person wouldn't sign off on this just because what are we going to do? I mean, doing nothing because you're afraid to do something is never going to be the answer.
Collecting signatures on a petition is just saying, who's interested? Do you want to back this?
Yes.
Right. Why would you stop someone from expressing an opinion, which is a clear violation of someone's speech?
It is. We do have a caller on the line. Dan, what say you?
Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
What's
good
up?
Good morning, Dan.
What's up?
Oh, I'm on the radio.
You're on the air.
Yeah.
There's no hold. There's no hold music, so I was just listening to dead air. Rich was on there and did a great job, and the detractors, what I've seen, I just have had a couple come by and say, oh, don't believe that. And that gets people interested in our booth. That guy's against it, so I kind of want to hear what you have to say. So it's been very helpful.
Well, good.
We've enjoyed that from a positive standpoint. Going back to the Tollard lawsuit, my disappointment is the judge not allowing the information that was there, the documentation, the affidavits that the citizens have observed of the activity that's taken. The citizens need to know what's going on in that elections office, and I'm disappointed the judge didn't bring any of that forward.
Yeah, we had over 52 affidavits. We had hundreds of pages of evidence. They refused to hear this case based on its merits. Wow. However, you can still look at the case if you want to know. You go to ShastaVote.org. The case is up there. It's at the top of the page under the bulletin board. You can read the whole thing and see all of the violations that were committed by Joanna Francesca and Thomas Toller in this last election.
Perfect. See, those are the kind of things people need to be aware of if they're not, to be able to go and see what's really going on and seeing what the judge is denying or not even looking at.
Well, this is what happened with Trump in the election of 2020. The courts refused to even look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a matter of deciding on its merits or not. They just wouldn't even look.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So they say there's no evidence, but the fact is they never got to the part of the trial where it was evaluated based on evidence.
Yeah, the evidence never got to be introduced then. Yeah.
And that happened all across the country in 2020, and it's still happening here today in Shasta County.
Yeah, you know, and you know, when you look at what's going on with the with us locally, I mean, this is an opportunity to really step up. I know that, you know, Joanna was defending to just defending and singing the praises of Tom Toler. Very much so on an interview that was a podcast and also on a couple of radio, interviews. And, you know, when you think about that, I mean, you know, some people have said, you know, we had to go through the process. Toler had to be there. Why did we have to go through a process?
No.
We could have had Clint Curtis right off the get-go. So why did we have to go through it? What process did we have to go through? That's what I would ask that supervisor. What process do you think we had to go through since we'd already been through hell?
Was it complete exposure? Is that what they're thinking?
You put a guy in office, you pay him, you keep him in there to run an election, then you expose him for being a bad guy? What?
I don't know.
It's a good thing that Joanna Francesca was fired because she, in effect, ran the last two elections. She ran the primary and, for all intents and purposes, she ran the November election.
She should have been fired before with those 173 emails when they were skirting the Board of Supervisors and being fraudulent about the Board of Supervisors when they did not sign off on dealing with these stupid election machines.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Joanna Francesca has had multiple offenses against her, going behind the board's back and rewriting the $1.5 million Zuckerberg grant.
Yeah, she kind of went around. They did approve it eventually.
In and of itself is a terminable offense.
She should have been terminated.
But they did take the money eventually. Didn't they? They did take it anyway.
It doesn't mean she didn't violate the law. She violated the law on multiple occasions, and that's what our case highlighted.
I certainly don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that they ended up saying, okay, I mean, I'm beginning to wonder a little bit about some of the decisions that have been made at the Board of Supervisors, and I'm beginning to wonder about those things, and, you know, I don't understand. I mean, first of all, I'm tired of it being a circus there. How can you just, you know, move about the county's business? I love what Chris did when he was in there trying to make sure that permits were easier to get, those kinds of things. If you guys, I mean, mum's the word on the other stuff. If you can't do anything, if you can do something, why aren't you doing it? And when you select people for a particular position, don't put us through hell for a while because you need to think you have to go through a process. That's just BS in the biggest sort of way.
Well, too, you know, they rely on their county council, and sometimes their county council is ignorant to the issues.
Or?
And many times in our case with Joseph Larmore, unfortunately. Yep. And that was the other case you were referencing, the Shasta 5. Joseph Larmore wrote a very, very poorly written case. They lost. The Shasta 5 were victorious. The petition went forth. Now that's a couple months old news, but... that's just one example.
Right.
Can you give the website again, Laura, where people can...
SaveShastaElections.org, and that's elections with an S, SaveShastaElections.org.
There you go.
Now, I just heard the phone ring, but we don't really have time for another phone call. However, if that person wants to hold on and has a question, I'll take it off the air.
Okay, the other thing, too, if people want to practice voting, they can go to CaliforniaStateSplit.com and look at the website there and vote whether yes or not, no, if you want to have California be split up into multiple states. Do you just want to go through the option of having that done?
And then fill in the contact information.
Yep.
So we know you're interested, you know you want to get involved, and we can get in touch with you.
Amen.
So with that, website again on where people can contact you to help.
Okay, SaveShastaElections.org. Come see us. Help us out. Sign our petition.
There you go.
We look forward to seeing you.
Now, can people just take the petitions themselves and then go around to their circle of friends and everything else to see?
Yes, if we give you a little bit of training, we can send you off running with petitions as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
That would be awesome.
All righty. Well, it looks like we got about 30 seconds.
There is not one. We were just asked if there was a donate button on the website. I'm assuming they're talking about California State Sports.
Yes.
That is, and we're not having one yet. We still have to do a few things before we put that on there. But please be patient with us, and we will get that done.
Yep. So time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.